everyone ready? Ready to dig into the Word of God and what He has for us today? Let's take a moment and open this up in prayer. We thank you, Father God, for this time together. We thank you that we can dig into your word. We thank you that you are the revealer of truth, that you reveal to us your ways because they're not our ways. You show us your will, Lord, and we ask for truth. We ask for revelation of your will. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that we see truth in all things. We even see the truth in ourselves, Lord. The word says that you will know the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. So we dig into the truth, Lord, that we can be set free. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you make us willing to be made willing in this season, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we'll face the truth about ourselves, our mindsets, those things that hinder us, Lord, and that no matter what and no matter how much the truth strains us, that we'll work on that area that you've shown us in this season. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for greater spiritual maturity that comes through receiving in your truth, in your promises, Lord. Thank you that you're ordering our steps. Thank you that we can walk in your ways all the days of our life, and you withhold no good thing from us. No good thing, Lord. And so we just thank you for the word coming forth this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's your words coming forth, your heart for whoever's listening this morning. I thank you that it brings freedom, that it brings growth, that it brings deliverance, that it brings joy, your joy into people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the Lord, he makes our steps firm-footed, right? He sets us in a place of favor, uncommon favor, as a matter of fact. I did a teaching on that a while back. Amazing favor. The Lord spoke that to me last week when I was praying. I'm releasing amazing favor. But something we have to get down first. We have to grasp first, before we can walk in this amazing favor, before we can truly have uncommon favor in our life, we have to receive it. We have to believe we're worthy of it. I had a situation recently. I have a fairly new car, and one of our sons has a pretty old beat-up car. And so I offered him my car. It only has 17,000 miles on it. So he would have something nice to ride in, to get around, to go to work, go to school, all that. He's in college. And he literally said, no, thank you. I still, when I think about it, I can't believe it. I'm like, are you crazy? But he didn't want it. So he looked a good gift right in the face and said, no, thank you. I had it for him, but he would rather be in his lesser thing. And I was sharing that with another son and a couple of his friends, and they're like, what? Is he crazy? Why would he do that? How is he? I don't even understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, his car that he drives around in now is old and beat up. Actually, it's gone through all of our sons. Started out when our very first son was 16, and he's married, been married for 6 years, has two kids. That tells you how old it is. But he said, no, thank you. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I had it here for you, but you don't want it. I'm certainly not giving it to you. And so don't we do that with the Lord a lot? He has good things for us. And we say no thank you because we'd rather remain in our junker. And sometimes we're saying no thank you by not receiving his truth for us, by not believing that we are worthy, that we're worthy. And we are worthy, or he wouldn't be offering it to us. I wasn't kidding with my son. I found him worthy of blessing in that capacity. He's a very responsible 20-year-old college guy. He makes good choices. He's getting good grades. He's diligent in working. And so he was worthy. I'm not going to give it to somebody that's going to trash it and destroy it and party in it and make it a mess. But I found him worthy of it. But for some reason, he didn't find himself worthy of it. And that's part of our portion. That's part of us. The Lord has good gifts for us. He has great things he desires to hand out to us. But if we can't receive it, then we'll never take possession of it. That's part of that scripture, I believe, that talks about walking worthy of the calling. One of the things about walking worthy or walking in a manner worthy of the calling is truly believing that we are who we are. Walking worthy of the calling, worthy of God, is believing that God looked down and said, this very one, actually, before we were born, he said, I need this very one on the earth today. And I'm going to place in them and around them exactly everything they need. And I'm going to bring every good thing into their life. And I'm going to give them good gifts. And I'm going to place an anointing in them. And I have a purpose for their life. But are we walking worthy of it? It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong scripture. That's 1 Thessalonians. X that out. Colossians 1, 10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's another one, Philippians 1:27. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Another one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Okay, so a lot of times we look at those scriptures and we've heard those scriptures ministered in a way that talks about our lifestyle. And I do believe that's appropriate. That's walk worthy of it. You know, we can't be a worship leader. There's a song that says this, you know, you're trying to be the worship leader, but you're listening to R&B. You know, you can't compromise. And so you got to walk worthy in your lifestyle, but we've also got to walk worthy in our hearts. And in that aspect, I'm talking about of how we view ourselves. You know, am I walking worthy of that very thing I've been called to? If I'm consistently critiquing myself, if I'm looking in the mirror and I hate what I see, if I look at a picture of myself, come on, let's be a little real here this morning and going, ugh, I hate how I look. Really, what we're saying in that moment when we say, I hate how I look, is we're saying, I hate, Daddy God, how you made me. Wow. Now, there's some things about our looks that maybe Daddy God didn't create in us that we've brought upon ourselves. So that's a little bit different. But I'm talking about ourselves, our features. And I may be wrong here. I'm a woman, so I can only speak for women. Women are terrible at this. We're constantly comparing ourselves with others. We're constantly saying, man, she has this. I wish I had. Okay, I'm just going to be a little real here this morning. She's got great legs. Man, I wish I had legs like that. Really, what's wrong? Are our legs moving? Can we walk? Are we getting from place to place? Can we even run? If we're a preacher, can we pace that platform? Do we really need legs like that? We have our legs for a reason. I don't know why the legs look the way they do, but they do. So others will look and say, man, you know, I wish I had her eyes. I wish I had her hair. Oh, she has beautiful teeth. Have you not ever said this? Have you not ever compared? And what you're saying is, I don't think you did a good job creating me, God. Because every aspect of our physical body, God created. Unless we've changed something, God created it. So when this is a major problem for women. So when we reject ourselves, we're rejecting God himself. And then how in that place are we walking worthy of the calling with which we've been called? How? How can we minimize? How can we minimize ourselves on a regular basis? How can we downscale ourselves, but yet we want divine favor from the Lord? He's like, why? You're just going to downscale it. Why are we reserved in sharing when God has truly blessed us, when God has moved in a mighty way? Why are we so reserved? Why do we have to explain away our blessings, our overabundance, our overflow? When God just showed up on our behalf, why do we have to minimize that or scale it down so others aren't hurt, so others aren't disappointed? No, let's brag on God about it so we can raise up the faith of others so that they can truly believe, wow, maybe God can do that for me too. Maybe If God's done that, you know, I'll give you a great example. Good friend of mine. Someone just blessed her with a brand, well, I don't know if it's brand new, so I shouldn't say that, with a beautiful, I'll use that word, because I'm not sure. It might be a little used. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to her about the details. A beautiful BMW. Beautiful. Now, what people don't know is that her other vehicle, it looked great on the outside, but boy, it was beat up. It was time. She needed a new vehicle. And she's a giver in the kingdom of God. She's had her hand to the plow. She tithes. She sows her seed. She gives offering. And she needed a new vehicle that she couldn't get on her own. And that's something. That's what favor is. A lot of times we look at favor as just prosperity. We look at favor as just financial increase. Favor is anything being accomplished on our behalf, for our behalf, to us, that we couldn't do on our own. That we couldn't do on our own. It may be restoration of relationship. That's favor. If you couldn't have brought it back to restoration on your own, you'd just mess it up again and again and again. But all of a sudden, that relationship is restored because you chose to wait on God. I've seen it in my personal life. I stand in awe of it in my personal life. God's pouring out his favor in all kinds of air, amazing favor. You know, my sister was just recently at my house visiting. And her and I were extremely close when we were younger. And then just some life events came in and there was a lot of separation and a lot of distance emotionally. And we walked two different lifestyles for quite a few years. And there was even a period of time we didn't talk, like a good period of time. Or we talked very minimal, two or three times in the whole year, for two or three years. And that just was not our relationship had been severed. Never would have thought that it could have ever taken place, but it did. And truthfully, I tried reaching out a few times, but it was just met with rejection. It was met with hurt. It was met with misunderstanding. And so there was just nothing I could do on my behalf. And even others tried to work the relationship out, especially my mother, because of course, a parent hates to see their children in disunity. Imagine how God feels. But that's a different subject for a different day. So anyhow, God's just slowly been restoring this relationship. I guess it was 2 years ago at Christmas. We went home. Home is Boston for Christmas. And my sister was going through a very difficult time, very emotional time, and just really reached out to me and actually for the first time probably ever asked me to pray for her. And we just embraced and I just prayed, you know, and I just prayed God's love and peace on her and just, you know, that God would pour out his spirit in a great and mighty way. And it was a very moving moment. And the Holy Spirit was clearly present. And so then time went on again, and things were better than they were before, but they weren't like they were originally. And so she just, her and her daughter, my niece, just recently came out for a visit, and it was amazing. Talking about amazing favor. It was amazing. There was peace. There was relationship. There was communication. It was like in an instant, we were back where we were 10 years ago. It was like that friendship was complete, like nothing had ever happened. If you had been around us now, you would have never known there had been separation. It was amazing to me. God had truly moved in a mighty way. And he's continuing to move. And she came to our church service on the Sunday morning she was here. She wept the whole service. And she could hardly wait to get to church on Sunday when she went back home to Boston. That's favor. What I couldn't work out on my own, the Spirit of the Lord began to move in that area and restore that relationship. And when God does it, when it's born of God, when it's what God intends, there's no other route but victory. No other route but victory. That's a scripture verse. I'm not sure where it is, but that is a scripture verse. It's a promise we have from the Lord. I'm trying to think where it is. I have some notes here from the other day. praying the other day, and I think I have that scripture in my notes. Let me just look real quick, because I do like to refer. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of you will prosper, will be victorious. It's just got to be born of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? We've got to be ready. We've got to do our part. That's walking worthy. We've got to receive ourselves. How can we expect others to receive from us if we can't receive ourselves? See, this is where the enemy has really kind of duped us, and he's really lured us in with falsehood, with false identity. It's all over the place. Insecurities. We all have that one thing about ourselves that we just hate. Have you ever, I'm pretty sure most people do this. Most people, when they see a picture of themselves, they go right to the one negative thing first. And they think, ugh, I hate that. Oh, that looks terrible. And what we do, every time we do that, we are rejecting God. We're not walking worthy of the calling that's been placed inside us when we're rejecting us. I was actually talking to my son about this earlier today, and he had a great analogy that I really think could help us to understand how God must feel when we reject the very things he's placed in us, the very features and characteristics and giftings and anointings he's placed in us. When we reject those things. And so this was I was talking to my son about this earlier, and this was the example he thought of. He said, you know, if I go and buy a t-shirt for someone, then I see him wearing the t-shirt, it makes me feel good. Because now I know they really liked the gift I gave them. How do I feel if I gave them a t-shirt and then all of a sudden one day I'm at their house and I see the t-shirt in the trash? I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be like, man, they didn't even like my gift. I gave it to them just because I love them, and they don't even care about it. So you see the difference there? We really have to have a boldness and a confidence and almost a tenacity that, you know what? Yeah, God gave me this, and it's awesome. God chose to create my entire body from head to toe this way, and it's awesome. I am what? What am I? What does the scripture say? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the scripture says, right? There's no other way we are made. Wow. It's in Psalm 139. I will give thanks. Do we give thanks to the Lord for how we are made? Inside and out, they both matter. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Excuse me, wonderful are your works. So the works of the Lord are nothing but wonderful. He doesn't create an ugly thing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If we can truly grasp this and understand this, especially as women, because boy, we sure are critical as women. We really are. We just size ourselves up to everybody around us. We compare ourselves to everyone around us. What we have isn't good enough. This should have been done better. That should have been done better. And we just have to embrace who we are. We truly, I'm talking to the woman here for a few minutes, we are extraordinary. Each and every one of us is a Wonder Woman in her own might, if that makes sense. I'm an extraordinary woman. You're an extraordinary woman. God designed you the way he designed you because he wanted you to be who you are, to reach who he desires you to reach. That's walking worthy of the calling he's placed in you. Rejecting yourself is rejecting God. The inability to accept yourself as special, yeah, we are. It's like, you know, why sometimes do people, why am I so different in this area? Because you are, that's awesome. You're unique. You're special. And you are fearfully, wonderfully made. So why? Why do you shrink back in fear? Why do you feel like a failure? Why are you hard on yourself? It's in your mind. It's a battle of the mind. None of us, I'm not saying we're perfect. Don't misunderstand me. But we are made in the image of God. We are made in his image. And we all bring a portion of him to the table. All of us do. All of us bring a portion of God to the table. That's the whole thing about transgender. And changing your... You're basically saying God made a mistake with my identity. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually, because that's not my opinion. That's biblically. God created you, male and female. And he chose you as a male to bring his portion of manhood to the earth. As a woman to bring his portion, he's the breasted one also, of womanhood to the earth. And we're trying to discard that. We're trying to say that's unimportant. We're trying to say, I know better than you. I know better than you, God. We really have to receive ourselves and accept ourselves. God has greatness planned for us. So let's treat ourselves like we are great. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is really good right here, actually. I'm just thinking of this scripture. If we treat ourselves terrible, if we're always telling ourselves in our own mind how insignificant we are, how stupid we can be, right? How clumsy we are, how short we are, how tall we are, how thin we are, how fat we are, how awkward we are. I'm trying to think of other things that people may say in their own minds to each other. I mean, in their own minds when they look at themselves. Yeah. Whatever it might be that you critique about yourselves, the Bible tells us what? To treat others as we treat ourselves. See, the truth of the matter is we might try, but we actually cannot treat others better than we treat ourselves. Eventually, in that relationship, it's going to come to the surface. And if we feel lousy about ourselves, it impacts every relationship around us. If we feel insecure in ourselves, unworthy in ourselves, then we're going to put demands on others to make us feel better. And that's setting everything up for failure every single time. If you feel like you lack and you think God messed up, then you're not going to look to God to fill that portion. You're going to look for somebody around you to fill it, and you're going to place expectations on them that they can never meet. And they can't do it no matter how much you want them to. And even no matter how much they try, you're going to stop making them feel like a failure because you think you are. That's a powerful statement right there. Because you have lack in your life, you have insecurity, you do not truly embrace that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God by God himself. He chose every single feature you have. He's the potter, we're the clay. And so if you feel like you're a failure, then you're going to place expectations on other people. That's going to cause them, in the long run, it's going to result in failure. Now you're projecting what you feel on others. The Bible says, like I said, treat others as you treat yourself. So we've got to start with ourselves. Let's treat ourselves well. Let's love ourselves. Let's encourage ourselves. Let's know who we are in Christ. Then that's how we're going to truly treat others. Here's a good little red flag to watch for, to see if you feel, and you may not even realize it, but if you feel less than. How do you respond when someone tries to compliment you? Can you just take the compliment and say thank you? Or do you have to excuse that area that they're complimenting? Or do you joke about it or minimize it? Then you're rejecting goodness coming into you because of a lack in your heart, in your mind. I mean, if the very hairs on our head concern the Lord, then every single thing about us concerns the Lord. We've basically got to give ourselves a break and embrace that we truly are fearfully and wonderfully made. We trust that every single characteristic that He placed in us is because He desired it to be there. There's purpose for it. In all of it, in our physical being and in our personality. We've got to embrace the whole thing. Yeah, you know, and people even, you might not compare yourselves to other people, but people will compare you to other people. And people will try and make you like other people, if that makes sense. You know, I had somebody ask me one time, and this was years ago. Now, I'm not putting myself in this place. Somebody asked me this. Do you see yourself, and this is a quote, do you see yourself more like Paula White, or do you see yourself more like Joyce Meyer? And I just answered them honestly. I said, I see myself as Linda Davis. And I wasn't being arrogant. I don't want to be Paula White. I don't want to be Joyce Meyer. And they're great women of God. I respect both of them. I'm not minimizing them at all. I'm not throwing any shade their way. They've done a lot for the body of Christ and women overall. But I'm not them. I'm Linda Davis. And I'm carrying what God has for me to carry in this season. And next season, I'll carry what God has for me next season. You know what? And who we are truly is in our heart and in our soul, our inner man anyways. Right? This really is just a temple. This really is temporary, our bodies. I'm saying this, you can't see me. But our bodies, they're going away. You know, they're gonna go back dust to dust. What's inside is what really matters. Our temples are temporary. Who we really are is what's permanent. And we place so much on our outer temples, so to speak. Testimony, I guess I have. And this is the thing, the enemy can't take the core of you. And when you're confident in the Lord, and you know who you are in Christ, you know you're a child of God, you know that it's your inside, your inner man is where the Holy Spirit resides, not in your physical body. When you really can come to that place, He created it, yes. Yes, he did. But it's, the enemy can try and take it from you, but he can't take who you are, if that makes sense. And you know, like for myself, I shared this at a woman's conference recently. And so if you were there, bear with me, because a lot of people listening to this weren't. And I was just talking to the women, can we just be transparent with one another? Can we just be real with one another? Can we take all the pressure off of one another? Because, you know, you're looking at an outer package and you have no idea what's going on inside. And people are presenting themselves one way, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on underneath that you know nothing about. That I know nothing about. And we really do go by the outer package. And we make presumptions. And we respond based on our perception. And God's trying to say, it's about the core of who you are. It's not about what your toes look like. It's not about if you have jiggly arms. It's not about if you have thick legs. It's not about if, you know, you have a jelly belly. It's not about if your hips are wider than the girl standing next to you. You don't know what the girl standing next to you has gone through. And so, you know, for myself, I know this, again in Psalm 139, actually, that the word says that God created me in my inmost being. And he knit me together in my mother's womb. He did that. My frame has never been hidden from God. He saw my unformed body. And he formed it. Imagine that. And you know, for me, truthfully, I spent 50 years, I'm 52 now, I spent 50 years critiquing my own body. Actually, my husband and I were talking about it the other night, and I was like, man, if I had realized how good I looked in my 20s, I probably would have had a lot more confidence in my 20s. I didn't know. Now I'm 52. Now I know how good I looked in my 20s. And I'm not saying anything about how I look now. So for 50 years, I had the same body, and there were things that I consistently critiqued about my own body. And I'm really, this is really talking to the women here. Because we all have a struggle, we really do, with low self-esteem. We might hide it well, we might cover it up, dress it up well, put some makeup on it, but it's still there. And so, 2 years ago, you know, I went through major surgery on my body. I had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I had a double mastectomy, and I had immediate reconstruction. And so no matter how close they try to make you look like your own self, you don't. That's the bottom line. And it's major surgery, and there's major cutting done on your body, so there's major scars. And things never will look the same again. And truthfully, before surgery, I didn't think it'd be a big deal. I sat and had a meal with a friend of mine, the same friend that I shared was blessed with the BMW. You know, and she was trying to be encouraging. And I'm here for you and whatever you need. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fine. You know, and I made this joke with, I'm like, they're only boobs. Sorry, radio. But it's true. That's how I felt. And in one sense, it's true. But it was a part of me. And so now I'm after surgery. And this is how I can best describe it. My head, my face, I'm standing looking in the mirror at myself. And my head and my neck have been placed on somebody else's body. Because it does not look like Linda anymore. It looks, first it looked horrible. And then even after a lot of healing took place, it just looked like someone else. And so now I'm trying to identify with this thing I don't recognize. And so an inner struggle went on inside of me. And who is Linda really? Is she her body or is she her being? And you know, I texted my husband, was some point after surgery, and I had had a lot of tubes, and so I'd gone to the doctors and they took the tubes out, draining tubes. And I'm just trying to be transparent on the radio this morning. I'm trying to help somebody. And so I finally could take a shower by myself. And I got out of the shower and I texted my husband. He had to go back to work. He's at work now. And I had a good friend and my daughter-in-law staying with me, helping me. And so I texted him and I'm like, I finally have been able to take a shower. Felt so good, you know, all that stuff. And then I just kind of added the comment at the end. I said, but it still looks like I got hit by a dump truck. Actually, I probably said Mack truck. And so, you know, if you have an iPhone, you know, we have iPhones. When you text somebody, then you see the dots coming back. And then you see their text. You know they're writing. And so I sent that text to him. And then so I see those three little dots, and they're there for a while. And then I see them go away, but nothing comes through. And then a few minutes later, I see the three little dots appear again. And then I see them go away, and nothing comes through. This happens like 5 or 6 times. And to me, it was the most precious thing to my heart, because my husband was trying to respond in a way that was going to make his wife feel good about her appearance, even though they both knew her appearance was very rough looking. So, you know, basically, you know, I can't remember his exact words, but, you know, to me, you're beautiful always, or something along those lines. You know, what he was trying to say is, I see beyond all that. None of that even matter. You matter to me. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that my wife is here with me and alive and doing well and cancer-free. And I think that's what God's saying to us when we're critiquing ourselves and minimizing ourselves and wishing our physical body or our personalities had this or that. And he's saying, I see beyond all that. I see the greatness in you. I love you no matter what. I want you to step into all you can step into. I want you to walk worthy of the calling I've placed in you. It's just like Moses. And he's like, well, I'm not of eloquent speech. Did he not think God knew that? You're not really? Oh, that's a big surprise to me. I know. I created you that way. I know you're not of eloquent speech, and I'm still telling you, I did that for a purpose, to maybe to show off even more myself. And so then, about a year and a half later, I had to have a hysterectomy. And really as a result of some of the medicines that I had to take after surgery. And so now I'm having a hysterectomy. I mean, talk about having all your womanhood just stripped from you. Okay, what we consider womanhood. And so I really went through a process. And you know what? I finally came to this place. You can take every single thing from me in the physical, but you have not changed who I am. I am still Linda Davis. I am still a daughter of the Most High. I am still Mrs. Dan Davis. I am still everything God has placed in me. I am still His anointed. I have still been called to go out and preach the gospel. You can't take enough from me that's going to cause me to say I'm less than what God has called me to be. And that's the whole point, really, of what I'm trying to drive home here today. Is that there's nothing anybody can do to make you less worthy of the calling that God called you to be. And until we rise up in that incredible confidence in the Lord, that incredible security in the Lord of who we are. Then it's tough to minister to others. We have to have great confidence of who God created us to be. Every single one of us are uniquely and individually made. And it's a process of becoming who God created us to be, because we have to get rid of all the mindsets of the earthly realm. We have confidence in God and confidence in who He created us to be at all times. We all have imperfections. We all have things. But God placed even those there so we would lean on Him. Right? What does He say? I'm so glad I thought of this verse. What does He say? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. You might have a weakness, yes. I might have a weakness, yes. But what does that just say? I've got to lean on God then. You've got to lean on God, and He gets to show off on. That very thing we hate is the very area God can show off on. Well, will you do like Paul did? Will we boast, not critique? Not begrudge, but boast all the more gladly of our weaknesses? Why? So that the power of Christ can rest upon us. Wow. Will we be content in the very thing about ourselves that we can't stand? Because it's going to bring glory to God. Now, there's areas we have to work on. We have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We have to have love in our lives. We have to have joy. We have to have peace. We have to have patience. We get refined in these areas. We have to have goodness. We have to have faithfulness. We have to have gentleness. We have to have self-control, right? We have to have all these things. And we get refined in the process of those things. But there are weaknesses that we have, things that we can never change about ourselves, that God gets to show off in that very place. That's amazing favor. That's uncommon favor. If we're packaged and we got it all figured out, we got it all going on, then where's there room for God to move? God doesn't want us, even when we're working in the fruit of the Spirit, He doesn't want us to change our personality. But He does want us to use what's been placed in us to shine a greater light on the kingdom of God. He does want us to take that and use it to glorify Him. You know, there's that statement, you do you. Do you, and I'll do me. If we would just give sometimes even each other the freedom to just do you and just let me be me. Now, I'm not going to let you be rude or ugly to me. But you know what I'm saying? Don't try and conform me and change me and mold me into who your expectation of me is. Let me be who I am, and I'll let you be who you are. And maybe we can link up and be powerful in the kingdom of God. The thing is, we're always going to be who God created us to be, no matter how much we try and change ourselves. DNA will tell you that. See, I'm still the me that I was when I didn't walk with God, but I'm different. I still have that the same personality I had going all the way back to high school. Is it refined? Yes. Is it matured? Yes. But the core of it is I'm still me. I'm still me. Praise God. I'm still walking in me. And you got to still walk in you, and don't stop apologizing for you.
And you know what?
So what if we mess up? So what if we have a shortcoming? So what if I let you see my, It's not weaknesses, vulnerable places. Because you know what? If we're all walking around like we've got it all together and we're all perfect, we're not helping each other at all. That's something else I shared at that women's conference. It's all the time. And every time I meet you, how are you? Oh, I'm great. I'm fantastic. You see, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, good. How's everything? How's the kids? The kids are good. Everything's great. How are you? Good. We're all good. Great. Let's all go on our merry way. Go to our separate lunches and pretend life's all great. We're dying inside. We're looking at somebody in church and we're asking them how they are. And they're saying fine because they see us as greater than them. And they don't want to admit their weakness to us because we always present ourselves as fine. And so now they're dying inside. They're crying out inside. But they don't want to let us know they have a weakness or an imperfection in them. So they say they're fine. And they walk out of the church doors and they get in their car and they go home and they cry. Or they just go home and they're lonely. They're discouraged. They're defeated. We're presenting ourselves. We all got the same struggles. We all have to control our minds. We all have to watch what our thoughts are. We all have to keep our hearts pure. We all have to keep our hands clean. We all have to renew our minds daily. We have to watch what we're thinking. We have to close our mouths sometimes. We have to put a restraint on our mouth. We have to choose to not say what we're thinking. And we have to understand, I tell that to women all the time. You don't know how many other women are struggling with your same issue. And the enemy wants us all to think that we're the only ones that struggle in that area, because if he can get us isolated, he has victory over us. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't show up for one. He does. But if he can get you isolated and he can get you to think you're the only one that has the struggle you have, then you're going to feel defeat. You're going to back up. You're going to shrink back. So many people. Look at how many books there are out on the battles in our mind. And the scripture tells us this. To live our lives as a living sacrifice, right? In Romans chapter 12. I've got just a few minutes left here, so I'm just going to go to that scripture real quick. And probably, I'm not promising, close out with this scripture. In Romans chapter 12. Why are we told to renew our minds daily? Because our minds wander. People that have been in it 20, 30, 40 years still say they got to bring their minds in line. So Romans chapter 12, it really wraps it all up. We've heard it said, as a man thinks, so he is. And that's why the enemy comes after our mind. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service in spiritual worship. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is a form of spiritual worship, saying, this is your body. You created it, Lord, and I give it to you. And I know that you fearfully made me and you wonderfully made me, and I'm in your image. I've been made and created in the image of God, in the image of you. And so I give this back to you as a true and ultimate form of worship. And I say I love it. I love myself from head to toe. And you do what you want to do with my body. Now, there are times when God speaks to us about our bodies and he's trying to bring correction, not from an area that he created, but from a situation physically we created. Now, that's a whole different conversation. We are supposed to care for our bodies also, because he is the one that created it and gifted it to us. He doesn't want us trashing it either. Let's have ears to hear. So in verse 2 of Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after it, adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. We dedicate our bodies. We renew our minds daily. We walk in the confidence of the Lord. We belong to Him. Let's be courageous. Let's be bold. Let's be confident that He created us exactly how He wanted us to be. And just cry out to Him. You know your area. I know my area. Let's just cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, you created this in me, and I struggle with this, so help me to accept me. Help me to accept this very thing in me that you created so I can honor you. And then I can also, in turn, love others as I love myself, because that's the measure. That's the measure we pour out with, is the measure that we can pour to ourselves. That's biblical. Let's really see us. I say this to women all the time. I wish you could see yourself as I see you. And so I want to encourage you this morning to ask God to help you to see yourself as He sees you. That's a powerful way to see yourself. It's a powerful thing. It's a freeing thing, actually, to be able to really understand that we've been made in His image. Going back to the women, we've been made as women in the image of God. That's powerful. Let's understand that and embrace it. We've been made as women in the image of God. God created mankind in His own image. Mankind. Male and female, by the way, He created them in His image. Self-confidence, assured woman of God is what is being called forth. I don't want to say self-confident. It is self-confident. It's confident in the self that God's created. So confident, self-assured woman of God is this season, is this moment, is this hour. And so we have to get ourselves to that place of saying, you know what? I just accept it. This is what God's created in me. This is how God created in me. I am worthy of the calling. I am worthy of every gift He wants to give me and place in me. There's so much about self-confidence. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? God did not give us a spirit of fear. So if that's in us, it's not of God, and we have to recognize it and get rid of it. What did He give us? Do we walk in the power, the love, and the strong mind He gave us? Let's remember, we always should praise the Lord of how, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Of how wonderful that God created us in our mother's wombs. Confidence in Him. Christ lives in us. Christ dwells within us. And that we would boast. That we would boast in our weakness. That we would boast in it because it gives God an opportunity to show off His strength. Yes, Lord, we know who we are. I'm not throwing away my confidence to make somebody standing next to me feel better. We need our confidence. We're not weak, and we're not feeble, and we're not timid. We're the righteousness of God. We get to come boldly before the throne of our God. We receive His strength. We can come to a place, as we've been processed through the fire, where we are lacking nothing. We have a shield. We have a buckler. We have a helper. Right? And as we understand each of those things, that causes us to grow in our confidence in the Lord. In all things. Joshua was commanded to be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because God's with you wherever you go, and He called you to this thing. So that's what we have to do. Let your goodness, let all that you excel in, let all that God created in you, even your weakness, be used for His glory. He's the one that makes us strong. You know, if we're barely struggling, getting by, can't do it, don't know how we're going to do it, what does that say about our God? And I'm out of time here, so I'm just going to close with this. Do not fear. God said in Isaiah, "For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I just want to tell you something. Maybe this will release you from some pressure. You don't have to be everything to everyone. Praise God. We don't have to be everything to everyone. And one final time, I want to encourage you. Don't downplay. Don't downplay all you are and all God has placed in you. Don't downplay that. Be sure to use those very things to shine a light on the kingdom of God, on how amazing He is, because how amazing you are. That's truth right there. If you can grasp that statement right there, how amazing He is, others will realize because of how amazing you are. When you minimize yourself, you're minimizing God. When you're showing that confidence and that self-assuredness and that greatness He's placed on you, you're showing confidence and assuredness and greatness of God. Thank you, Lord, that everyone walks in your confidence, Lord, that everyone shines a light of how great you truly are, Lord, and that each of us that have an ear that are listening this morning remember how fearfully and wonderfully made they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen.